And so it's been a few weeks. We were just coming off of the scene of Jesus calming the seas, calming nature, that supernatural event, and then dealing with the supernatural in a different way. Not supernature, but the supernatural in a spiritual possession of somebody. Antichrist, the devil, possessing someone, a legion of devils possessing somebody. Jesus casting out those demons, casting them into the swine, and the swine getting all bug-eyed and running off the cliff into the water and drowning, it says here. So, picking up from that into verse 36 here. "They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." So the word is going out about this event. This was not a small event. This was a well-known individual. You tend to know the people in your community that are completely possessed by the devil like this, and, you know, breaking chains, not even be able to withhold someone like this. You just have to turn them loose. In verse 37, "The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them." It's interesting. "For they were taken with great fear." Well, there's the reason. "And he went up into the ship, and he returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house." This is what we opened up our worship with this morning to the Lord. "And show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city." Doesn't mean he had a newspaper press, but he talked about it. "Through the whole city, how great things Jesus had done unto him." Amen. What a deliverance. What a mighty God. So one of the things I wanted to do here in the midst of Luke, in this letter to Theophilus that Dr. Luke is writing, giving a perfect account of the things that Jesus did, is to take a look at these pieces of puzzle, I call them, little testimonies, and glue them together to get a whole picture of salvation and walking with the Lord. So many pictures of salvation just in these first 8 chapters that we've been introduced to. The calling of the disciples, Peter, Levi, the tax collector. The woman with the alabaster box recently. And now the demon-possessed man. And there were many more. And to compare these and to make that complete salvation picture of these testimonies and the different facets and aspects of them. Definitely worth comparing and looking at. First, if we were to compare some of these together side by side, even the calling of these people is very different. Peter's calling Jesus Lord after the great catch. You know, a great miracle was what caught him. Levi, a tax collector, a man isolated and despised by his very own people, because of what he did for a living. Dropping everything just in response to Jesus saying, follow me. There's nothing else indicated there. Just follow me. The leper, a man isolated, again, isolation, due to physical illness, seeking the mercy of Jesus. Jesus, I believe you can heal me. Will you heal me? And Jesus said, yes, I will. The woman with the alabaster, isolated, again, isolated, people isolated. Everyone feels isolated in some way or another. Even when they're in church, they feel a little bit out. We all feel that way. It's human nature. The woman, especially, though, of the alabaster box, isolated because of great moral sin in her life, repenting before the Lord, just in tears, washing his feet. Now the demoniac here in this Luke chapter 8 event, someone that was completely out of control. Jesus just seems to bump into, coming off the ocean in that great story of calming the storm. We know it was no coincidence. In fact, none of these events were coincidence. All of these were appointments before the first fish of creation swam in the seas. In all of these cases, we can apply this truth, John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. There's comfort in that. It's not like, you know, I chose you, God. And God's like, well, maybe, okay, come on. And no, I didn't choose him. He chose me. There's comfort in that. It's like, okay, you know what you got, Lord. You chose me. And not only chose us, but appointed us, it says in John 15:16. You like my high tech? I totally broke my laptop. So following suit from Mark, taking your example from last week. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. It's eternal fruit. The love that you show right now, there's something significant about that that you will be able to enjoy forever. It isn't temporary, isn't fruit that rots. It's love that remains. It's fruit that remains. Your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. All that's tied in one verse there with his choosing of us, his appointing of us, us bearing fruit. What a relationship we have with him. What's your relationship with God like? Well, he chose me. He appointed me. That means he gave me purpose to do things and that I would bear fruit. That means I would be loving and compassionate and generous and that my fruit would remain. That means the things I do now are going to be realized for eternity. That's going to be an awesome thing for eternity. The investments made now are in heaven and they're eternal. Whatever I ask the Father in his name, in Jesus' name, he gives to me. Man, that's pretty cool. Do you want to join me in that? That's a good news. That's the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 also tells us in respect to this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before that first bass swam in the lakes or the seas there, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow, so all of this was working before we even said our first goo-goo or ah. Uh-huh. Having predestined Asher to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Why? Because it's the good pleasure of his will. That's the big question mark that hangs over all of creation. Why? Why all of this? Because of the good pleasure of his will. Praise God. So, comparing these testimonies, comparing these events of salvation is a worthy thing. It builds that picture completely for us to understand how it can happen for our loved ones, how it can happen for us. How about the outcome after that power-filled encounter with Jesus, after being saved? Day two, I like to call it. Day three. What's your day two and day three been like? Your day 300. For the disciples, it was a complete change up of life. No more tending nets for Peter, James, and John, and no more sitting at the office for Levi, hearing the clinking of coins. For the leper and this demoniac in chapter 8, it was to go back home, be reunited with loved ones, and get going again in their new life with Christ. Let's continue as we go through these verses to compare these testimonies, not just the initial event, but the outcomes, the next steps of their lives. Let's see what we can learn and glean from these things. They also which saw it told by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed, and the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, because they were taken with great fear here. This leper returns in verse 39 and 40, asking Jesus, you know, I want to be your disciple now. I want to be like Peter, and I want to be like these guys that are following you around. And Jesus tells them, in what is similar to the leper, to go back to his people and share what happened. The leper was to tell the priest and no one else. That's what Jesus commanded him, but he ended up telling everyone. And now the demoniac is to tell his hometown, and Jesus is telling him to do that. Go ahead and do it. We know that Jesus kept the miracle ministry somewhat low-key. He would tell people, be careful who you tell. And so he would give specific instructions like he's doing. That's so he could finish his course and not be plummeted by people looking for someone in the physical, just looking for that physical thing, the physical miracle healer. We're going to see him being pressed by the throngs here in the next verses ending this chapter. When the woman touches the hem of his garment, in fact. His main ministry was to preach the good news and then fulfill it. No greater healing has ever been given to man than what the blood from the Lamb of God provides. I think we can look at day two of this demoniac going back to his hometown and the leper and these other conversions, the apostles, and compare them and take something from each. They're all applicable. In fact, they're so unique from each other that it seems intentional by God to give them to us this way as individual, unique puzzle pieces of testimonies that we can draw this complete picture from and walk forward with Him in strength. Let me draw attention to five elements to take away from these testimonies and what it means to follow Jesus. Number one, lose your life. For the disciples, in what we've read here so far, it meant to forsake and to follow. And we are to do that, to forsake and to follow. That doesn't necessarily mean we physically change our circumstances, our jobs, where we live, and our situation, and we wander about. But there's certainly an aspect of complete and total change of life, a rebirth. 2 Corinthians describes it. I couldn't describe it any better than 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone therefore is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Good one to memorize. Good one to live. So even the old jobs become new. The old marriage can become new. The old me and the new me now exist. The old way I used to wake up in the morning and turn on the TV turns into a new way. I turn to the Word of God and turn to prayer. The old way I used to fall asleep to the TV, speaking from experience, to the new way of hearing a Bible teaching, letting that let me fall to sleep, or letting my last lips just be prayer to God, or having my wife read a book about evangelism. What's the book you're reading to me now? What's Multiply? Okay, that puts me right out quickly. She says I last two paragraphs usually. Okay. The old way I used to see the world for what I could get out of it, now the new way where I can see what I can give out of the bounties of God and the resources that He's blessed in me. The old grind at the grindstone, kick and climb up the ladder to new godliness with contentment being great gain to me. Godliness with contentment. Matthew 10:39. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's called irony, paradox, I guess. It's just the opposites kind of happen. Losing your life. Who wants to lose your life? Well, the promise is that you will find it if it's lost for His sake. For, Lord, what do you want me to do? My life is yours. Surrendering your life completely to God. Number two of the puzzle pieces, developing a picture here of receiving and walking with Jesus, is fellowship. Fellowship. For the leper who was to report to the priest only, our day two with God should include the household of God, the believing community. So I'm referring to all these testimonies, not only this demoniac, you're going to hear me talk about the apostles here, and the different people that we've encountered so far as puzzle pieces. We can take something from each one. And what Jesus told them to do, and this leper, which we covered in previous chapters, was to report to the priest. Back to the believing community. What a sad thing to see when someone says they believe on Jesus and have had Jesus work in their life, but they are isolated and not connected. Meetings pass by, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Saturday nights, then eventually Sundays are given over to whatever else of interest pops up. There is no fairy dust quick fixes that we can sprinkle over someone's life, of their marriage. We live in the day of drive-through and hot pocket meals. There's no question about it. But our walk with Jesus is never to be so trivial. Simply do the basics is what we're called to do. To not neglect these things, these gatherings, as some do. They are meant for life. And that is meant in two different ways. They are meant for the rest of your life, as well as abundant life that Jesus promises to those that hear His voice and follow Him. What does your day two and three look like? Number three in the elements of walking with God or following Him is peace. And these are all pieces that we're taking out of these different testimonies. And I think back to the woman of the alabaster. It was simply to go in peace. Jesus left her with those instructions. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. I say simply, but it's actually quite profound. Something that she didn't have before. No part of her daily experience was about peace. The peace came from the forgiveness of this heavy guilt and shame that hung over her like a dark cloud day in and day out. I like this one because it's intangible. Go in peace. Peace, not pride. Peace, not worry. Peace, not fear. Peace, not discontentment. Peace. Listen for the peace of God. In the God of peace, in the passage of Philippians, both are mentioned here. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are a good report, whatever is of a virtue, whatever thing is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. It starts with the peace of God in Philippians 4, verse 5, ends in Philippians 4, 9 with the God of peace. Two bookends, the peace of God and the God of peace that you have working to your favor. Just as he told that woman to go in peace. It is that peace that we have, each one of us. Each thought that we have, our life that we occupy, each event in our life exists between these two bookends, if you choose so. The God of peace and the peace of God, those two bookends, sandwich your life, your events, your decisions, your thoughts. Anxious thought is outside of those. It's out, way out there. Get within the bookends. That's where he's called you to live. Whatever things are true, noble, all of that. He's talking about what's in between here. Could preach on that all day. In fact, it's worth highlighting. If you did turn to Philippians 4 just now, it's worth highlighting the peace of God there. Philippians 4 and the God of peace in verse 9. It is a total change of life. It isn't about a new creature that God has given us and that new creature following the Creator, going forward in peace. Number four, taking some serious time here comparing these testimonies. We've run into so many now dealing with a demoniac that we need to really pause and, hey, let's look at some of these different witnesses. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, it says in the scripture. What does that mean? We're surrounded by this demoniac, this crazy guy that got delivered. We're surrounded by this woman with an alabaster box that was so guilt-ridden and delivered by God that she's free now. We're surrounded by Peter and Paul, all these witnesses that declare that, hey, follow Jesus. They're all telling us, follow Jesus. They're all declaring in the Word of God, follow Jesus. They're clouds of witnesses speaking. Their lives speak to us. And that's what number four is about, being a witness. Number four, speaking to the demoniac specifically. Can you imagine what a witness this guy was coming back to town? Whoa! Get in the house! It's you know who! Honey, get the kid! Just get the kid in the house! What is it like to be possessed, to insane, and then to have a sound mind, it says, to be in that right mind, as it says? Do you know that Jesus gave you the spirit, not of insanity, but of power, love, and a sound mind? If you're not thinking on what is lovely and good and honest and trustworthy, if your thoughts have gone somewhere else, say, hey, God, you have given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm not going to think on that. That is a statement of faith, and that response of faith will bring power from the cross, from God's grace into your life. We can all struggle with battles in the mind. Oh my goodness, do we? Fiery darts from the enemy. discouragement, depression, you name it. Satan has quite an arsenal. We are told to use the shield of faith. That faith is adequate against those fiery darts. It certainly is. I can give testimony to that. Day two for this demoniac would be to tell the whole city what Jesus did in his life. This is his faith at work now. He's been touched by the Lord, and now his faith is at work. He's giving testimony. That's faith in action. His shields are up. His testimony is certainly an exciting one, and we can share his testimony as well. That's an awesome thing. An amazing grace that really saved a wicked wretch like him and me. So number four here in our following, Lord, is to witness. Give that testimony. Share about what God has done. Do what 39 says there. Return to thine own house. Return to work. Return to whatever. And show the great things God has done unto thee. Don't hesitate. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Just remembering something that happened at work. And man, it just, somebody said a compliment and I knew I had no credit to take, and it was God. And completely just gave credit to God, and it was just like completely awkward for everyone because it was completely unexpected. And there's nothing in me. It was totally Jesus Christ. And it just was really, it's one of those things is, you know, everything's running smooth and, you know, it's everything, everybody freezes and it's awkward. And it's like, man, there was no other thing I could say and take credit for what the Lord's done in my life. Praise God. Give witness. Number four in following Jesus. And that's for everyone. And it's okay to pray for boldness and ask others to pray for you, as Paul did in Ephesians 5. He just got talking about the armor of God and conquering and all this stuff. And he's like, can you guys pray for boldness for me? Paul the Apostle. So be encouraged. Ask God for strength to have boldness to witness at school, at work, or wherever. We're all fearful creatures. In fact, it's all through the Bible. You know, as soon as the angel shows up, you know, or something happens, we just freak out. We're fearful creatures. Fearfully but wonderfully made. Okay? Wonderfully made. The image of God. We need to step into that. That new creature that Christ has provided for us. Are you ready for another one? Another testimony? I don't know. What time is it? We're doing good. Are you ready for another one? Another life touched by Christ. Never the same after. This time I want you to look for, now that we've prepared a little bit, coming off of this demoniac and looking and comparing, I want you to take a look and study this and feel it now. The initial encounter with Jesus, what was unique about it comparing to the others, and the steps from there, you know, the steps that was taken from there. So let's read in chapter 8, verse 41 through 48. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Isn't it crazy? Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about a mother and her only son that had passed away. And that was on Mother's Day. We covered that. This kind of went through Father's Day recently. Now we're talking about a dad and his daughter, his only daughter. And she lay dying. Interesting. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, amen? Neither could be healed of any, amen? They help, praise God for doctors, but man, they just can't get to the problem, can they? Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, not me, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Are they correcting Jesus? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, my goodness, a woman that's hidden for so long because of this issue, now in the spotlight. declaring unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, praise God, to hear that one word, son or daughter, child, just to hear that is worth everything. It's worth every tear. It's worth every difficulty. It's worth every challenge to hear God Almighty say, son, child, daughter. Oh my goodness, praise you, God, just for that one word. Be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. The initial counter, of course, is very unique here. This time Jesus is trying to get somewhere, seemingly, and this person intercepts Jesus, seemingly. Definitely very unique from the rest. There wasn't an asking or, Lord, I believe you can heal me. Will you heal me? And all this, like the leper, or beseeching the Lord, like the woman with the alabaster, you know, just pouring out repentance. No words from either, actually, from Jesus or the woman. Just a reach out and a touch and a healing. Yet, still the same principle applies that we read about earlier. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame with him in love. He chose that woman to do that day. He opened that door for her to do such a thing. The most subtle touch you could imagine in the whole scripture. Unannounced, from behind, the base of his tunic, kind of like Ruth, remember, covering with Boaz. Her second step with Jesus was really what we would typically think the first step would typically be. An exchange of words would happen between that person and Jesus. But the first event was the healing, the reaching out and the touching and deliverance from this chronic ailment. And she does the right thing, of course, here, presents herself before the Lord properly in humility. Not a quick fix and run. How many have come to Jesus for that quick fix and scampered off when things got better, quote unquote? We've seen it happen here in the fellowship. In and out. It happens everywhere. I'm not sure about this losing my life or forsaking all and following thing, or the white water of persecution and loving enemies. Not sure about this. I'm kind of here to get fixed and then move on. I'm not especially going to forgive the jerks in my life. That's kind of what I live on, is talking bad about those people and hating them. That's about 90% of my life. What am I going to do with all that free time? Who do we forgive but jerks? My goodness. We do not worship self here. It's not about the quick fix you up and get you moving on with your life. This is not a clever disguise of humanistic philosophy of loving and not judging, but rather spirit and truth. Absolute truth from an absolute God, where there is no shadow of turning or compromise. What sounds sweet out there, folks, and loving and peaceful may be in opposition to God, in which case we call it sin. We live in a land where it will become increasingly unpopular to follow Jesus, in fact, even dangerous. Matthew 10:28 encourages us, if you can take it that way, and fear not them that which kill the body. Okay? All right. But are not able to kill the soul. Oh, okay. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay, I'm going to trust you, God. You got all the cards in your hand. My soul and my body, the outcome of that is in your hands. So I'm not going to submit to man. For this woman, it would not be that case. It would not be a hit and run. It would not be a quick fix, and I got my thing. She would engage Jesus, and a relationship would begin. That brings us to number 5 today, and that's relationship. Jesus is not an inanimate spiritual force, fuzzy thing that we tap into or channel into for that quick fix or healing adjustment. He's a living divine being that loves you. Being healed by Jesus physically is not the bottom line. Although for her, it was her everyday prison on this earth. It's hard to see past those prison bars, I will admit. And so in being healed and set free, she has a choice to grab it and go, or face the healer to know and be known by him. Her physical need and situation is something that drove her to Christ. I can relate to that. Boy, can I ever. I can relate to all these people, this cloud of witnesses, whether it be struggle with sin or physical issues. These are things that bring us into a place of being good soil. Prepared, ready, eager, perhaps even desperate for the living God. Thank you, Lord. I understand why people with stage 4 cancer say, you know what, I wouldn't wish this away. I understand why people like Johnny Erickson Tata say, you know what, I wouldn't change a thing. I understand that now, being 50. I understand why they can say that. They're not bragging in their strength by any means. They're bragging in his strength by every means. My goodness, it is true. It's true. The encounter was powerful for this woman, but the relationship begins with the talking with Jesus, face to face, hearing him. We talked about hearing well in the parable of the sower and the parable of the lamp. Take heed, be careful on how you hear. Tune into the voice of Jesus. Step into the light as this woman did. Even though it doesn't seem like it's going along with the program, Jesus is on the way to somewhere else and there's this interception happening. Step into the light as she did. It's like, well, you know, I'll wait for this to happen and then. Stop doing that. Go for the Lord, man. Reach out for him. Don't stop waiting for this and that and the other thing. Step into the light as she did. She realized she was no longer hid. A woman used to living in the shadows because she would be unclean. With this bleeding issue and this culture, she would have to be separate from everybody. Just hide, always in the shadows. Always hidden. A life lived in the shadows. Now in the midst, in the spotlight of God. On Wednesday we watched a Louis Giglio. Mark brought it in and speaking of the spotlight of God, the earth was a picture of the earth from the Voyager we got to see. And it was in these beams of light in the photograph, and there's this one shiny dot in there, and that's Earth. You know, it's like billions of miles away, the Voyager taking a picture. And it took months just to send that one picture, because it has to send one pixel of the picture at a time, and it takes an hour to send a pixel. So that's some slow transmission there, but the spotlight now being in her life, something so hidden and seeming so small as the earth and her life now being exposed, and it's something grand in God's plan. What an awesome God that we serve. What a mysterious God. What a lovely God. She was no longer hid. A word that perhaps comes to mind is conviction, the light of truth, God's presence shining upon you, revealing something that needs to be brought forward in humility and submitted to this great physician. What is the greatest part of her story here? What is of most value? It's when she begins to know Jesus, not only his power, but the person of Christ. Being called daughter is the greatest part of the story. We look at it, it says, oh, the physicians, nobody could heal her, spend all their money, we all could relate. But it's being called daughter. That's the greatest part of the story, the most valuable part of the story. Immediately, she would be in communion with the Father as she began hearing and speaking with the Son. Interesting, the last words of Jesus to this woman are very similar to the woman with the alabaster. Go in peace. Go in peace. Okay, that interruption, that interlude is over, and now the story continues to flow to the house of Jairus. Where were we? Where was Jesus? Wait a minute. What are we doing? The leader of the synagogue. Ah, yes, we're on the way there. His 12-year-old daughter dying. I think we could squeeze that one in, maybe. While he yet spoke, in verse 49, chapter 8, there comes one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." That's it. All done. Go home, boys. Well, when Jesus heard of it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Not believe and something else, believe only. Good one to highlight. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. Kind of weeding out the unbelief there, I believe. And all wept and bewailed her, and he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. I mean, laughing to the point where it's upsetting. That's what it means. Knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and calling, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, came to life again. She arose straight away, immediately. And he commanded to give her food. Commanded the parents, go ahead and feed her. And her parents were astonished. And he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. What a traumatic event, and especially for this dad, this family, this mom, to see the daughter die, my goodness, and all the emotional wailing and carrying on, and then to have that child come back, shock, just more than the human mind can absorb. And in fact, Jesus, his command here speaks to that. We can get so caught up in the miracle that we forget the simple practical. It's like, okay, give her something to eat now. Perhaps during the illness she hasn't eaten in days on end, but this disease has been conquered. Now you have a very hungry girl on your hands. Jesus could have filled her belly with oatmeal as part of the miracle, or manna, even better. But he is turning that back over to the family to take care of her. Jesus did the same when he raised the boy from the dead. Back in chapter 7, he returned him back to his mom. Okay, go back to what you were doing, take care of this child. Jesus raised this girl from the dead. He's turning back to the care of the parents. It's a side note, but a significant one here, that God has designed and called us as parents, those of you who are parents and that will be, to care for these little ones. It is a calling that cannot be compared to any career. It is one that does not end with divorce or even death. One of my favorite expressions someone told me a long time ago, she's long since passed, but as complaining about diapers and this and that and the other thing, she says, "It's only forever, Paul." No one's ever said anything like that to me before. Usually it's like, "Oh, it'll be okay. It's just a phase or this or whatever." It's only forever, Paul. You're not in a career. This isn't a job. This isn't something temporary. This is a life. It's a calling. It cannot be compared. It does not end with divorce or even death. You can ask any parent that has experienced those things. That child is a gift from God to you to be loved and nurtured and ultimately dedicated to God just as you are. Amen. This dad is going to do whatever it takes to see his daughter healed. It's one thing to struggle with health, but to see your own child go through it is yet a whole nother. I think about the man and woman that lived in our house before us, the Mapleys, and how they raised their special needs son. And, you know, he was in his upper 20s, I believe, at the time when we bought their house. They had a motor lift that they could, a motor lift that would lift him up to put him in the pool. But just that dedication and that compassion for the child. It really grabs you, makes you think. Sometimes the compelling reason for someone to seek out or have an encounter with Jesus is something happening to themselves, whether it's leprosy, guilt, sin, health issue, as the woman did interrupting the scene. But for Jairus, it was something not for himself, but for his daughter, his only daughter. This is yet another piece to our picture of salvation, our picture of testimony, the cloud of witnesses. Another shape, puzzle piece of testimony. This one is about relationships drawing us in into the place of needing God's involvement. Each relationship we are given can be quite involved. This is where we're finishing today, so try to listen for a few more minutes here. Each relationship we are given can be quite involved. Our life is really measured in relationships, not in bank accounts or career. The summation of all commandments speaks to that. It says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's your relationship with God. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's your relationship with others. Your life is measured in relationships. Every relationship is going to have white water. Every single relationship is going to have white water. That's challenging times. Sometimes due to sin, pride, sometimes due to things beyond our control, like this daughter being sick and dying. It's white water. It's trouble. It's struggle. Are you going to bail out? What are you looking for? The perfect human to love? What's that? We love God who is perfect, and that's good. But God would challenge us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and I hate my brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he say that he loves God who he has not seen? For this dad, the agency to which God would use to put him in contact with Jesus was relationships. His daughter dying. Let's take these testimonies, compare them, digest them. Some receive Jesus as he just says, follow me, and others, God puts a prod in their life because maybe it's a difficult relationship, a sickness, a health need. These are all testimonies and clouds of witnesses that we can be encouraged by. They're all equivalent in significance. Some might be more interesting to hear as someone's up here talking about, but they're all equivalent in significance. It's really the next steps that matter the most. It's that following the Lord. The encounter is wonderful, but what have been our steps since then? Day 2 and 3 and 3,000. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Mark, just a couple of Saturdays ago, was thanking the Lord in prayer meeting, I believe, yep. In his relationships with his children and being able to have a son, being able to have a daughter, those relationships and those things that have just brought him closer to God. We need to thank God for so many things in our life and not take for granted each other in this body and in the people of our families, whether they're difficult relationships or not. We need to thank God for them. Start thanking God for them, even the difficult ones, especially the difficult ones. Thank God for them. Each one there's a purpose for, and it's to His glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today. It is divine. It is breathed by you, Lord God, and I thank you that I have an opportunity just to be up here and share it, to be able to expound on it, that we could digest it and work it and walk it. You are a good Lord. You are an awesome Lord. You take what is significant, what is not, and you make it significant. Help our eyes be open to what you're doing, Lord God. Help us understand the vision you gave this body recently of being completely submersed in your grace, but underwater yet living and breathing, completely submerged and surrounded. There's not one bare aspect upon us. We're completely covered in that living water. We pray that just descend upon us now, your living spirit, your living word dwelling in us. Move upon us, Lord God. Use us mightily, and we do ask for that boldness this week. that we could share our testimony with others. We could be like this demoniac, Lord, this man that is now in his right mind, and be that to other people, Lord, and give testimony. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. May we glorify you in our deeds and words. Amen. Amen. Amen.